The old Interflora slogan, "Say it with flowers," presupposes that you're choosing a flower pretty carefully. One that smells of rotting flesh might not be quite what they had in mind. Some 16,000 people made their way to the Royal Botanic Gardens, Melbourne this week to get a rare glimpse at a record-breaking and extraordinary flower. I joined the garden's director, Tim Entwistle, to find out more about the stinking lily. Early morning in the Royal Botanic Gardens, Melbourne, is a beautiful place to be. You walk through and it smells very fragrant and fresh and like things are alive in a good way. But I've stepped into the glasshouse with Tim Entwistle and I believe we're going somewhere that may smell a little less magnificent. Tim, big week for the Royal Botanic Gardens.
Really, really big. In fact, one of our biggest weeks, because we have what we argue is the biggest flower in the world flowering, and it has one of the biggest smells. A very, very unpleasant smell, which has been described either as a dead possum, a tuna sandwich in the car, or a rotten fish with just a touch of burnt sugar.
In nature, why does it smell so bad? What's the kind of function of that?
Well, plants and flowers smell usually to attract something to them. In the case of flowers, it's to attract pollinators. So in this case, you think, okay, a rotten smell. And when you look at this, you'll see it's got a fleshy coloured part to it as well. So it looks a bit like rotten meat. And what it's attracting are flies and carrion beetles in the rainforests of Indonesia, the island of Sumatra. This huge big flower emits this smell through almost a chimney, as you'll see, and sending it off into the rainforest to bring these all these insects that love rotten meat.
So Titan arum, is that right?
Titan arum is what it's called, sometimes the corpse flower, but botanically it's Amorphophallus titanum. Amorphophallus being a deformed penis and titanum being really, really big.
So we're going to walk through and we're going to see it, but what I love is it's Monday morning, it's about 9 a.m, and there is a steady flow of visitation coming through to see this. How often does this flower show itself?
Well, this is the third time we've ever had it flower in Melbourne, and that's quite unusual. I mew, in botanic gardens around the world, like Kew Gardens, New York, they have it flowering every now and then. Our one's flowered twice in 2 years, which is fantastic. This particular one, we didn't expect to flower for another 4 or 5. So this is one of those things that's very hard to see. You won't see it that often.
As we head through here, I have to admit, I am starting to pick up a certain pungency. Is that our friend the Titan arum?
You're getting a little bit, and today it's very, very weak. The very first day it opened, it was awful, and I went home that day. My car still smells like an old tuna sandwich. That's pretty revolting. But now there's just a faint waft, so you'll really only get a slight bit here. You can just smell it. We'll have to put our noses probably quite close.
Okay, no fear. We'll head on in. There is something sobering about seeing the one from 2 years ago there, looking kind of sickly and forlorn, forgotten.
Yes, I know. You can sort of see the stages in life almost here as we pass by. So we're now coming up to that great big banana. Now, look at the texture. It's like a chamois, I always think, but it's like a banana or a witch's hat or a corn cob, it's been called on the internet a little bit. And you can see that collar now. I actually think it looks great at this stage because you can see the lovely green ridges on the outside, like swollen like a vase. It's 2.63 metres, so over 2.5 metres tall. And you can see that purple sort of fringe to the top bit peeling away from the banana. This one at 2.63 metres is the tallest ever grown in Australia. We know that. We've been checking all our records. And it's also just a little bit taller than Kew Gardens has ever been able to manage as well. And we got our tuber and our seed originally from Kew Gardens. In fact, David Attenborough collected this seed that led to this plant being here in Melbourne. So it's got a lovely pedigree of David Attenborough collecting in Sumatra when he was filming, going to Kew Gardens, going to Sydney and now Melbourne.
So much the better. And beating Kew, that must be a real fist pump moment. Take him down. Now, as I said, we're having this conversation on Monday morning. It's been open now for 3 nights. That's about as much as we can hope for, isn't it? By the time Blueprint for Living goes to air on Saturday morning, will it be a shriveled mess?
By the time we go to air, yes, it won't be all that attractive. It really, at its peak, only 2 nights, and that's when it emits the really, really strong odour. And then by the third night, it's fading. So It's when you think about this, this is a plant that's put all this energy into this massive flower, and then only after 3 days the whole thing dissolves or starts to dissolve into a heap. So it's a very adventurous strategy.
And as it kind of as it does dissolve, as it rots, does the smell intensify, or is it at its strongest when it's in full force?
It's at its strongest when it's in full force. So that smell is really intense when it's trying to attract the flies. Now, the flies are going to go down into the middle of it. So it's tempting to think this big banana bit is somehow the male part of the plant, but it isn't. The flowers are tiny little flowers right down the base, thousands of them, female and male flowers. In fact, we have this big argument in the botanical world about whether this is a collection of flowers with a great big structure to attract flies to it, or is this a single flower? I actually think it really like a single flower, because those tiny flowers are so small and tiny, they're barely what we'd call flowers.
And obviously something like this is the culmination of many weeks and months and even years of work. So once it wilts and goes, what happens for you? Do you have to find a bigger flower, a better flower? A longer-lasting one, perhaps?
Well, look, there's two things to do. One is we have to care for this. We take it out. It's like a bulb. We put this aside for a while, and it might come back and flower, hopefully, in another couple of years, because we'll get it to flower again. But I would love to grow one of its... not a relative, really. Another plant called a Rafflesia. Now, Rafflesia, named after Raffles of Singapore, is sometimes said to be the biggest flower in the world. Those pedants that don't like to call this a flower call the Rafflesia the biggest. And we've got the vine... Now, Rafflesia is a parasitic plant on a vine. We've got the vine growing here in the glasshouse. I would love to get some seed, get it growing, and have another queue, maybe a longer queue, maybe for longer than a weekend, having a look at the second biggest flower in the world.
I can see that is no casual ambition on your part. There is a glint in your eye. You're getting that parasite going, I have no doubt. I'm going to circle around this magnificent pointy thing while it's still up and get a little closer for a smell. But Tim Entwistle, thank you very much for your time. It's magnificent.
Oh, it's great to have you here, Michael, in this smelly but beautiful setting.
It really was truly remarkable, that flower, and it has now wilted as promised. That was Tim Entwistle and the Titan Arum there. You can see pictures of the stinky lily and follow links to its very own Twitter account. They're up on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website.